Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, and welcome to another Something Offbeat roundup of weird news out of Odyssey stations across the nation. This week, as people are heading back to school, we're focusing on news related to Gen Z and other young generations. Some of the people in Gen Z specifically, they were born between 1997 and 2012, are headed to college this month. That means that anyone walking around a college campus might be met with the viral Gen Z stare. This dead-eyed look frustrates and confuses older generations. As a millennial myself who worked in customer service for more than a decade, I can absolutely relate to some of the Gen Z stare criticism. For example, the team out of the Dave Glover Show at KMOX Radio in St. Louis made some pretty good points about it this week. Let's listen.
Okay, I know we talk about the Gen Z stare. And to an extent, it's like, oh, it's trending, so it's fun to talk about. You guys, I had the worst example of it earlier this week. Going to a new bakery in town. It's not a small business. It's a chain bakery. I'm still not going to say who it is. The goods I got were amazing. Loved it. The workers I dealt with were honestly like, I was like, do they like know who I am and have some sort of personal problem with me? They were that rude. Just that, like, angry to have to help me. And I put on the show sheet, I feel like I'm constantly trying to force a customer service interaction that is not possible. Because nowadays, I know I sound a million years old, but
these kids these days.
But no, I'll go up to the cashier and they literally don't talk to you. And then you have to be like, hello, how are you today? It's like, dude, you are hosting me. I am the guest. It's better for everyone if you are the one guiding me through the experience instead of me trying to guide you. This is backwards. This is dysfunctional. This does not work.
Yeah,
I just want to say it's a very real thing, and I have experienced it firsthand several times in the past week.
Why am I guiding you? Like, you guys, this is not my place. This is your place.
Exactly.
You work here. You go here every day.
You tell me the deal.
You tell me what to do.
This is your stuff.
I know none of this is easy because getting employees and keeping employees is challenging.
Correct.
But this is management, because I've never once had that experience at a Chick-fil-A.
Not one time.
Everybody there greets you no matter what age.
Yeah. It's because they don't have God.
But before we get too hard on Gen Z, we have to acknowledge that they're not having the easiest time of things. A pandemic impacted their youth, and even though it's over, we're still dealing with high inflation and other economic pressures that make being carefree, young, and yes, smiley, challenging. Going to college itself is a daunting financial proposition. And a significant number of college kids are actually having trouble even paying for food. WCCO News Radio's Adam and Jordana in Minneapolis did a dive into the details this week.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Well, I was shocked when I read that this report from the Government Accountability Office that says 23% of undergraduate students and 12% of graduate students experience food insecurity while they're at school. That's more than double the food insecurity rate for all American households. That's according to the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. Now, you're moving yours in this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I moved Ruby in last weekend, and I said to her, use your meal plan.
Yeah.
You know, that's actual food. You don't have to go to Chick-fil-A. You don't have to eat unhealthy stuff. You have a meal plan. You can go to the dining hall and get food.
Yeah.
So it never occurred to me that kids on a college campus would feel or didn't have dining plans or would be hungry. I know they're poor and they eat ramen. And you're right. It's part of the college experience. I get it. Yeah. Especially if you don't live in a dorm, you know, if you live off campus or in an apartment. But I also don't know what to do about this, because we hear about kids being hungry in elementary schools that come from lower income families. Now we're in Minnesota, we're feeding them breakfast and lunch.
We don't do that at college.
Should we have plans like this for kids in college? And also, don't we, if somebody says I can't afford a meal plan, I guess the school's not required to feed them. So they just say, I guess, and too bad.
College is expensive. And I'm reading this report, too, is that these are students probably who, in many cases, are making their own way of it, paying for their own school.
And or on scholarship,
or
maybe.
On scholarship, and the, just the income or the money that otherwise would be used for food just isn't there. So it doesn't surprise me that there are many college students who don't have the money to buy food, whether it's at the school, on school grounds, or off school grounds.
And I'm reading also that rates of food insecurity are highest among community colleges and for-profit colleges. I mean, the for-profit colleges I get. And also community colleges maybe think that maybe that's more of a living off campus kind of thing where you go for the day and you live at home.
Yeah.
So they might not have dining halls, which I totally understand. But boy, if you're going to a for-profit college and you're still hungry, I feel like you need to reach out to the administration and say,
there must some school, most schools, I would think, have some sort of safety net for students who can't afford food or have.
But it's also embarrassing to go ask when you're a college, or is it?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's ever easy to do that, but I would think in colleges of all places would have a kind of a discreet way to do that, or to ensure that nobody is certainly being singled out because they can't afford to eat.
Just a card you swipe, or it's added to your student ID. The kids get a student ID. I'm sure they swipe it at the at the dining hall. It seems like it would be an easy problem to solve. Maybe they're just not asking for enough help. I mean, we realize the problem is there, but it's upset. I guess this hit me so hard because I have two in college, and it would be the first thing I, maybe because I'm Jewish, I don't know, the first thing I say to them when I talk to them, are you eating? It's the first thing I said to Ruby when she called me last night after rush. Did you have time to eat today? I just want to make sure that she's staying healthy. And that's what I think about, and thinking about kids on campus that are food insecure breaks my heart.
Yeah. And because college is tough as it is, and they raise good points about, you know, when you can't eat or when you're hungry.
You can't learn.
You can't learn.
You can't learn. You can't make friends. You can't go out. I get all of that. And especially in college, because I've seen some of these dining halls. I've seen all of the food along like the main street. You know, it's State Street in Wisconsin. It's all these streets where, you know, you have all the bars. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a place of excess often.
Yeah.
Even in dining halls, we know a lot of that food goes to waste. They're not empty at the end of the night. So it seems like college should be a safe place, almost like a safety net. Like if you are a student here and you can't afford food, you should be able to go in and get a meal.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody would argue with that. Even me who pays full price for college.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm stressed out, I know I often grab my phone. I text my best friend. I check out cool art and outfit ideas on Instagram. I look at funny memes. And I know a lot of us do it. Head to social media to relax. But there are also downsides to social media. Doom scrolling, bullying, idealistic influencer posts that make people feel pressured to live up to unrealistic expectations, and more. It's also really easy to fall into unhealthy habits around social media. So here's a question. Should kids not have access to social media? One state in the U.S. thinks so. In the Dana and Park Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, explained how the Supreme Court weighed in this week.
The U.S. Supreme Court today declined to block a new Mississippi law that imposes age verification and parental consent restrictions on social media platforms.
Say it again and say it for our listeners slowly because this is huge.
The Supreme Court today declined to block a new Mississippi law, which means they upheld the law.
They are upholding the law for age verification for social media use.
That is correct. In a brief order with no dissents, no dissents.
That's unusual.
The Supreme Court rejected an emergency request filed by the industry group Net Choice on behalf of 9 of its members, including Facebook, X, and YouTube. All of them were opposed to age verification.
They were trying to say it's a free speech issue, that even children have some free speech right to get on social media platforms. The Supreme Court unanimously disagreed.
In a separate concurring opinion, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote that NetChoice had, in his view, quote, demonstrated that it is likely to succeed on the merits when the case reaches a final conclusion, but had not shown the need to block the law. The law, which was enacted last year in Mississippi, requires all users under the age of 18 to verify their age and for minors to obtain parental consent to access social media sites. It is aimed at addressing growing concerns about the negative impact of social media on young people.
It's huge. Are you surprised or not?
I am surprised, actually.
I'm a little surprised.
18 and under, or under the age of 18, you would have to get, or you have to get now, in Mississippi, parental approval. How does this work? How do we ensure that this 15-year-old who wants to create their own Twitter page or Facebook page, that they've actually gotten their parents' permission?
How do you stop the kid from just taking their parents' ID and typing in the information effectively? Because that's how they're going to be consenting to it, is the parent would go on and say, here's my driver's license number, I am over the age of 18, I consent.
And now we're putting out a lot of personal information onto the web.
Policy-wise?
Will it keep kids off the web?
No.
No.
Policy-wise, I say heck no. Knowing what social media does to children, I mean, I witnessed it firsthand as a kid growing up in the growth of social media, I say heck yes. Lock it down.
Why?
Because it's horrible. It is a cesspool.
Yep.
The things that I was exposed to at an incredibly young age because of social media, I can still picture them in my head, and I watched these videos.
Picture them. What do you mean by
pictures,
them?
Videos, anything that popped up on social media that I should not have been looking at? And granted, I lied. I got a Facebook account when I was 11 years old. You had to be 13.
Mm-hmm.
I just put that I was 13. Changed my birth date.
Here's what I do think. I think a lot of states are going to follow suit.
Oh.
I think Kansas, North Dakota.
They will run to follow suit.
Alabama, Georgia, Texas, they're all next. And that's fine.
X-Line says they could use facial recognition to verify. Like we have on our phones to unlock our phone.
All I would need to do is get a picture of my mom.
Yeah. Or when they're sleeping, but that'd be kind of creepy.
Well, no, that is actually very creepy, Sam. But as long as there have been rules, there have been teenagers who figure out ways around them.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so like when I go onto a bourbon website, we're getting ready to do a Kentucky bourbon tour, and you go on the websites and you're looking around, like, which distillery should we visit? It says, I'm 51 years old. It says, are you over the age of 21? And I've always wondered, you click yes or no. Well, if you're 19, you just click yes, right, Sam?
That is correct. There is no true way to verify.
Thank you so much for listening to this Something Offbeat News Roundup. Special thanks to The Dave Glover Show from KMOX in St. Louis, The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO in Minneapolis, and The Dana and Park Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Please follow your favorite Odyssey stations and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app. You can also find Something Offbeat wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show. Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.